year for a water leak.
Uh-huh.
So we did give them credit once this year, so she just wanted to make sure that the council was aware of that if they did decide to approve this additionally. That's kind of what she wanted to highlight. Typically, we've said, you know, one strike and you're kind of out, but I think what we're looking for maybe is a little bit more flexibility as staff to determine what we feel would be an appropriate amount to credit them back, if anything. Right now, we're having a little bit of a discussion with them between, you know, their water usage for the fair itself, as you're aware, Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
This might be part of a larger discussion. So with that, basically what we'll be looking for there is just a little bit more flexibility. We would maybe determine at a staff level not to exceed an amount that would be the credit.
Could we pull that off and put it under H, new business, so we could just discuss it a little more?
Sure. That sounds good.
So I'd like to take consent agenda 2E, sewer forgiveness request for fairgrounds, and put it under new business. So with that, I would take the motion in a second. So
make the motion.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. We get a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. There's visitors, counselors, none.
One card.
That'll be public forum, right?
Sure.
Yep. Just a quick thing under mayor's report. As Tim just said, we're having a little thing with the fair. The county has called me. Tim and I are going to meet them sometime in May when Tim comes back off of leave. So they've requested a meeting through the county commissioners, maybe a couple of the fair board members. So I told them we'd gladly wait until Tim was back, but we have time to discuss this as ourselves too. So we have, and then I want to go there and just see what they have in mind, because they were talking about some billing issues and different things they wanted to discuss. So
water?
With water, sewer, storm sewer. They just gave me just a brief blurb. I asked them to send me a proper email with more information. So just so everybody's aware, this just came up like 2 days ago. So, but yeah, with Tim's permission, we're going to meet him in May sometime. All right, that's all I got there. Public forum. We have one card from Johan Marslin.
Johan Marslin, 703 South Fork Place, also 205 Manorville Avenue, Trained Child Center and Church of the Nazarene. Mr. Mayor, honored council members, city staff, it's a pleasure to address you tonight. I have two items I want to bring up. The first concerning an educational request. Our students this year have hatched a number of chickens, and they would like the permission to raise them to full maturity on the site. That would involve raising about 16 or 17 birds to maturity, and then maybe keep a winter flock through till next year. Our site there in the center of Casson is quite isolated. The nearest neighbor is our Hispanic pastor, who stays in the parsonage that we own. Then the next nearest residential neighbor would be all the way across Manorville Avenue and to the north of the crossing street there. We feel like the isolation should be sufficient to keep the flock without any disturbances to neighbors. We certainly have the property to keep them without any buildup of manure or smells or that sort of thing. The students had built a mobile chicken tractor for a previous year's flock where we only had 6 birds. It's sufficient to house up to 20 of them, though we don't anticipate keeping that many birds through that time period. So that's just something I'd like you to consider. We really don't need any action taken on that this month, as they're still chicks and in an indoor and enclosed area for the time being. The second issue that I wanted to raise was one of good constitutional governance. It says in our Constitution that the purpose of government is to promote the general welfare of our citizens. And I noticed in our packet that is present tonight that our city has invested over $3,300 in wholesale THC products this month that we will be retailing, I assume. Though I don't know that for sure. I assume those will go out for sale at retail at our store. Coincidentally, just today, the county dropped off a poster and flyers asking that I put it in my church and put it in our school, saying, let's talk, talking about cannabis and the harm that it causes. These are some points directly from their flyer. Using cannabis before your brain is fully developed can change how it grows and cause permanent harm. On the back, if you want to see this, I can pass it around. But on the back, it says, fact one, today's cannabis products are stronger than ever before. Using cannabis in your teens or even your early 20s can permanently affect your memory, your reaction time, your performance, your concentration. Cannabis has also been linked to increased risk for mental health. I have a daughter who is a licensed psychologist. Some of you have been on the council for a while might remember her. She's the one who came and originally argued for the chicken ordinance to be established. She's now gone on and gotten her master's, and she serves over in Mankato. She told me something a few months back that really shocked me. She said, you know, Dad, of those who have a mental break and come into the hospital for a mental break, if they're smoking pot, they have a 50% chance of developing full-blown schizophrenia. So I went and I looked up a little bit more, and sure enough, the national figures say that you have a 400% increased chance of developing schizophrenia if you smoke or consume marijuana products. Now, I understand we're not, at least my understanding is, we're not selling cannabis smoking products, but rather cannabis-related products, THC products. But is that really promoting the general welfare of our community? I don't think that it's a good function of government, even if we can make some money on it, to be promoting these things in our community. And so I would ask you to consider whether that's a good use of our city funds, although I'm sure that those funds would actually make more money for us. Is it a good use of our civic duty, our civic responsibility, to allow these things to be promoted in a city store? Thank you for your time, and I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Could we look into those, both the chicken and the...
Well, I think, yeah, Ian sure can take a look at the zoning and requirements for a variance. Okay. And you know, the products that we sell are not cannabis, so that's clear.
Okay.
Certainly.
Could we just get a little feedback to us for maybe next meeting? Or,
sure.
Or
sounds
next,
good.
Just so we have some more information.
Yeah.
And then we'll double-check that chicken ordinance. Okay, so now we're on, there's no public hearing, no committee report, no old business, administrator's report.
You moved one thing to H, I believe.
Yeah,
we moved
go.
H to L, yes.
You moved it to H, the sewer forgiveness from the Fairfield.
Yeah, we gotta grab that E.
Yes, I forgot to write down, I apologize.
That's all right. Including your packet, you have the request there, and as I said, staff would just wanted to direct your attention that this is the second request they've had this year. We gave them a credit earlier. You can see the note there on the second page. The utility billing department is suggesting no credit given for February of 26, as sewer credit was given in November of 2025. So that in and of itself stands by itself. You can see the leaking yard hydrant was about $2,400 worth of cost there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's up to council. I mean, there's the larger issue of I think what the county has said is that they feel like the water levels, now that we're metering it at the fairgrounds, not all the water is used for, you know, consumed, so the sewer part of it should be lower. That's their perspective on it. Typically, as you know, like with a residential or commercial customer, water and sewer track together. The sewer is approximately, you know, 100, you know, it's about double the charge for the water. So their perspective is, all well, some of it's going on the ground or being fed to animals, that sort of thing. The perspective that we brought back was that, okay, well, if it's not going, you know, into the sewer system, it's going on the ground. So, okay, you know, you can't have it both ways. Either you have a storm sewer charge, and you say, okay, throughout the year we're going to pay storm sewer because we know some of it's going on the ground, and then maybe we'll reduce that sewer charge because we know not all of it's going into the sewer system. Or you pay the sewer charges, and that is what it is. Mm-hmm. So I think their perspective is, oh, we don't want to do either one of those. We don't want to. So obviously, in May, we'll have a meeting. We'll discuss what they're thinking and kind of have a little more feedback for you. But I guess those are the items I have on that, that topic, really, if anybody has any questions or anything.
I just was looking through the past few months. It's in our packet of how much their usage. If you look, February of 2025 and January 2025, they had heavy usage. And then same now, if you look this year, it's you got a heavy usage in February. I asked the when the commissioners called me, I asked them to look into why would you have a heavy use in February? So I said, there's something else going on there. And they couldn't give me an answer. So they're going to look into that, and hopefully they'll have an answer by May. But it's concerning that it seems like every February they have a really heavy usage. And if it's during the fairgrounds, the only thing that's open in February is that new rental building, their event center they have or whatever. So they have...
Isn't the ice rink open?
Ice rink is not...
That's on meter.
That's on separate meter. Yeah. This is just strictly a fairground meter here. Mm-hmm. So...
Could a bathroom in there?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. So I want them to investigate, you know, because...
Which we would treat...
Yep. Right, if it's going through the meter, it's going to be treated for something like that, for certain. It's going to the sewer plant, whether it's relatively clean water or not. It just is part of the system.
So I asked them for that, so hopefully by May we'll have some answers to that. But that, it just seemed concerning that it seems like it's like clockwork. It's February, and then now another February, and it's the heavy use. It's heavier then than during the fair. So that was kind of... where this all started with me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if there's any feedback council has, we certainly would be glad to have that. Otherwise, you know, something to think about, and like I said, once we meet with them, we'll have some more to bring back to you. So,
I think we stick to the one time forgiveness. I mean, we do that with our citizens. We should treat them the same.
Yep. Yeah.
But and also, that would... if we have Casson residents that are asking to have a portion of their water not charged into sewer, we ask them to put in a second meter for watering lawns,
mm-hmm,
or filling the pool or whatever. So I don't know how big of a nightmare that would be at the fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah, question for, I was going to say, that's a good point. What do you think, Brandon?
You'd have to put one on every hydrant.
No, just on the buildings that use potable water, right, or have a sewer.
So they upgraded their water system a couple of years ago, so they have one single meter that was part of our discussions with them, and the deal kind of that we cut with the tower, we ran a public water main that we own and operate to kind of the entrance to the, I guess it'd be where the offices are, and then from there, when they put the new center in, they put a meter within that building, and then from there, it distributes kind of as a private system after the meter, because that was one of the requirements that we had. So to go back and put a new meter in there would probably be pretty tough, because there's like a sprinkler system and whatnot in that building. So I don't know if that'd be real feasible to separate them. Well, then you'd have to separate the meter at different locations too, because then they serve different stuff. I think they had a restroom at the racetrack,
mm-hmm,
and then there's one out by the highway there where the offices are in the 4-H buildings. It'd be pretty difficult. So essentially we have one meter and it distributes everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how we'd go and do
that. And we can't meter the sewer, right?
Well, you could potentially, they actually have a pumping, have a lift station over there. Let me think about that a little more. I got a meeting with Public Works I was going to touch on later in my meeting. I'll talk to Charlie on that and see. So I think all that sewer may go through that pumping station. Then you could potentially do runtime and pump down and see what that would look like.
Do you know how many hydrants they have on property? I mean, we could request that, but I mean, is there a way they could put like a flow meter on their hydrants? No.
I mean, you probably could, but I mean, it's a lot of hydrants. I don't know.
Yeah, I just was curiosity if they had something
backwards on trying to really meter stuff. Okay. The pumping station would be my thought.
Just trying to find a way to, you know, because if they're saying they're using those for this and using this for the sewer, you know.
And I guess my perspective on it is I understand that not all the water is going into the sewer system. So that isn't, you know, I'm not going to argue with that point. But the question is, if it's not going to the sewer system, it's going somewhere else, whether it's on the ground or in a trough or something like that, then it makes sense to me to have that, just say, okay, well, you're going to pay stormwater at X amount. It's going to be per month. And then they don't see the huge fluctuations. I think that's probably their biggest concern. You know, Duke, I appreciate he's watching the bills for the county. He sees this big bill. He's like, oh, my goodness, you know, whatever. And these, you know, you could see the bills. They're not, you know, crazy big bills, but they're, you know, some of them are larger than others. And
but you see those.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can see where he's concerned about. I guess to me, like, maybe having a little bit more regular bill for them and just saying, okay, You know, and looking at those stations is probably the best way to do it, because that would give us a good gauge. If it's 50% of the water running into the sewer system, we say, okay, we'll charge you the full amount of the water, we'll charge you 50% for the sewer, and then we'll charge you the storm. That makes up the difference for what we think might be going on the ground. And the big months are really going to be for the fair and for the truck show. Those are the two biggest ones. And then there's a couple other months during the year where they might have events, but mostly those are at the event center, where they might have a big wedding or some birthday party or something like that, where they might have a larger amount of consumption.
It's actually mostly the fair. It's it's July and August.
Right. Then that's the vast majority of it.
Except for when they have those big issues in February.
Yeah, and I know, like last year we did. I mean, I remember I was walking through the fairgrounds with my family going over to Veterans Park in February, and unfortunately one of the, you know, the faucets that was kind of by the horse area,
yep,
towards the school off of the trail, I don't know how it got turned on, but I called Duke right away because the thing had been, it was on. It was just running. And it was just, and that's where they ended up having huge usage last year. And that's where we did a partial forgiveness. Then, you know, and those things happen. I mean, we're certainly willing to work with them, but yeah.
Is there a way to lock those?
They, yes, did lock that one then afterwards. Yes. Afterwards, he put like a, I don't know, like a metal kind of a lock on it sort of thing. So, because yeah, I mean, that makes the most sense, because there were historically a couple of weak spots where they basically, you could just open the faucet up and let it rip. You know, and if somebody doesn't see it right away, especially if it's at night, somebody won't see that right away, you know.
All right. Well, we have more things to discuss with them.
And if you have feedback, we're certainly open to it. But for the time being, I think at staff level, we'll just defer this until we have a little bit more information.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody. Now, administrator's report. Sorry about that.
No worries. Here, let's see. Pretty light, legislative agenda. That's the bulk of it. And you can see that there, I've included a second document there just for power related stuff. They are talking more about property tax relief at the state level. And I include information there, which is mostly talking about how they could use current existing tools. For example, like when someone's valuation increases dramatically, people will recall back in 2023, the statewide average increase for valuation was 19%. Obviously, we don't see that every year, but the state mandated that large change, and for a lot of folks that was a pretty good whack to their and values went up, but also their tax bill. Snow cleanup, you wouldn't believe it, but like less than a week ago school was closed and it was 16 inches of snow, and I thought our staff did a very good job. They did the best they could. It wasn't an ideal situation with it when the snow fell. It wasn't perfect timing, so we did try to get out in front of it, let people know that we were doing it. We didn't have a lot of issues as far as I know with towing, so that was really good. I appreciate the police department doing a good job patrolling there, and you know, with the knowledge that it was going to melt pretty soon. I mean, I think our staff did a good job, but we are always open to constructive feedback from folks if they think something, you know, we have to do different. We know that over the next 2 years we're going to be increasing the amount of plowing that's happening, mostly with new roads. Right now, that area, the Schramm development, you know, they're doing kind of a one-pass plowing where they kind of just plow down the middle to give access because it isn't occupied right now. Well, it's going to take more time in the next couple of years, as well as a snow like that, where do you store stuff? Thankfully, like I said, a lot of this melted pretty quickly, but if that was in January, we would have had to identify some other areas for some snow storage, so that's something that will be coming up too.
On that note, yeah, too, I was talking to Public Works guys, and they did have some equipment go down. Both road graders went down one day. They got one running right away, another one running later. One of the dump trucks went down, but they was doing a lot of repair. That kind of snow this time of the year is really, really hard in equipment and properties, as you can see if you drive around town. But they tried to do the best they can. But they spent a few hours just late at night fixing equipment so they could go back out.
Yeah, and one thing I did task Charlie with earlier this year is identifying a used road grader. We know that we have one that's quite dated. Now, it still works. Sometimes it's more reliable than the newer one. As long as you don't want to lift the grader part of it up, it just keeps running. But I have tasked him with looking at a newer used model, if we could see if we can acquire one over the next year, because I think it might be beneficial just to be prepared for that failure there. And that's one of our biggest. The graders do a great job of clearing the road, and that's one of the biggest things we have. So, and
he did want to let everybody know that the new truck that we approved that they bought was the best piece of equipment they had out there. Two purposes. One was, it had that belly plow, but it was so much bigger and heavier than the two other dump trucks that they actually could get through the snow and not bounce off of it. They were bouncing off some of the snow when they were hitting it.
It was heavy, yeah.
It was so heavy, and that's what was breaking some of that equipment. So,
anyways, if you have feedback on that, let me know. Otherwise, yeah, we're always open to suggestions there. Casting Crossing Precon, they held that earlier this week, and got to follow along a little bit with the AI reading part of it. You have some good technology there, city.
Actually, the contractor did that.
Oh, okay. Well, it was pretty interesting just to follow that. But they've got some things they're going to be working out still to finalize. And I know Ian's going to be following up on a couple of those with determining whose responsibility is for street signs and things like that. So otherwise, I think they're planning on starting that project as soon as they can. And DeCook is going to be taking charge with that, which is good. It's a local vendor. So we're pleased that I'm pleased with that. We know some of those folks. So budget proposal for the governor. You know, honestly, it sounds like a non-starter from what I've read and what I've been told. It sounds like, you know, governor is influence is waning pretty quickly. And, you know, this legislative session has got 60 days left, less than 60 days left now. So I don't really know what they're going to do, if anything. It sounds like everything's kind of bogged down. So very interesting to see what comes of that. But and then I talked a little bit about something we'll talk about later with those union contract requests. As I said, then the other section, I have this legislative update on just power-related stuff. Some of it's more interesting than others to us, you know, tracking stuff. But once again, I don't know how much is actually going to occur this year. So that's all I've got, so I don't talk too much.
Thank you. Engineers report.
Yeah, just some quick updates. DNR trail grant, we're getting that put together. We did get letter of support from Bigelow Homes. Dodge County Board was going to pass a resolution and provide us a letter. EDA signed one, so thanks the mayor for that. CAM School signed one, and Casson PD did a letter of support, so thank them for that if you see them. So we're putting that together. Ian's signing off on it right now, so that'll be submitted by the end of the month. In addition to Casson Crossing, Southwest Recon is going to be kicking off here in the coming weeks, so we get some internal meetings to kind of get that project rolling. 16th Street is going to have to be closed back down. We build the turn and bypass lanes. We told the contractor to wait after the school's out. Just been some pretty heavy usage during the school, so we're going to kind of restrict the closure of that till later after school's out. And then I got right here, I'm meeting with Public Works tomorrow morning to go over well number two. We had that chlorine leak for the league, so we got some estimates there to submit that because there is a claim pending with the league for that, so we're keeping that ball rolling. And there's a street project budgeted, which includes restriping at Main Street and re-chipping and crack filling that, so that's been a budget item. So I'm putting that together with Public Works, and that'll be before you guys to consider a quote or a bid for that project. So just wanted to give you the heads up there. So that's what we're working on. Any questions, comments, concerns, happy to answer them. Nothing formal though.
Thank you, Brandon. Nothing on personnel. We will be going, an attorney will be going into a closed session.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Could we maybe do the round table first so that the folks out here may be able to listen to it and not have to hang around?
Sure. Sure can. Do that before we do the closed session.
Our last meeting, the council was informed of the pending retirement of the assistant chief, so they had asked for that job description to be included in the packet. So we did that tonight, and you're open to any feedback. Some tweaking is going to be done on just modernizing some of the language. The last time, obviously, that this chief, you know, it's been over 10 years since before, actually, we updated all the job descriptions because you know, CJ's been in that position for quite a while. So I didn't know if there's any questions anyone had on that. Otherwise, we don't have to belabor that conversation.
And here I see you call assistant fire chief. At fire hall, they always call deputy chief. Does
sure.
It?
And that may be something that we have to tweak. We have to get some confirmation from Joe what he wants to term that.
Okay.
And if there are other duties that are no longer being performed by this position, it would be nice to see a red line copy from the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, I could certainly forward this to the chief, see if he has any markups,
yep.
And CJ has any markups, too. That's one of the reasons we're talking about tonight, so that you would get what kind of feedback you guys have.
Is this written before they switched doing dual fire and EMS?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's correct, yeah.
So that's a big change in duties, and 97% of their calls are EMS.
You know, and I think that's something that we definitely want to get some feedback from the chief as well, because I know that he's talked about in the past kind of going with a dual program where he has some members that just do fire and some just do EMS. Mm-hmm. So it might be good to get some feedback on that, too, yeah.
Yeah, because there's other things on here, too. You know, I was just looking. It says they have to live within 5 road distant miles of the fire station. I don't know if they've changed that because the fire chief has been changed. So, you know.
Yeah, and I think what we've gone with there, yeah, is that they've gone with a certain response time within the fire district.
So things like that. So I think it would definitely be best, like you said, Mel, to have the fire chief go through it first and
and CJ, because obviously
CJ, yes.
He knows what he's doing.
Yes. That's, and then we can look at it.
Okay.
And
sounds good to me.
Next is dogs running at large, so I'd like the chief just to give a quick update on that, if you don't mind.
There has been some social media talk about dogs running loose. We are well aware of it. We issued a lot of citations related to it. We tried to seize some dogs initially, and a problem we've had since 2019 is we don't have a place to take dogs. Our local vet clinics don't want to house dogs. I understand why. They don't know the vaccination records, so that's why they don't want to. We ended up seizing some dogs. We found a place in Chatfield. So it's not ideal, but it worked for a temporary solution.
But the ordinance, you think, is as good as it can be? I mean,
we need to make a couple little tweaks. There is a section in there that defines, like, poultry is not considered a domesticated animal. So that's something we'll have to look at in the future.
Okay.
So we looked at, when did we look at this ordinance last? And at the time, after much discussion, it was kind of determined that it was under the circumstances written as best it could be.
That was 2 years ago? Two or three at least.
Might have been 23, so yeah, probably 2.5 years ago at least.
Change poultry, and do we have to have an updated list of domesticated, and are they
under this domesticated animals, and then it says poultry is not a domestic animal under the state ordinance.
Well, it's considered livestock.
Right. And part of that too, I mean, so I've heard while we're talking round table and in town, I've heard that some of these alleged chickens were not even permitted in our city.
Correct.
Okay. So just making sure that, you know, because...
Well, I mean, I guess that would be a big switch to make it a domesticated animal versus livestock. And most of the communities that I've been in have considered poultry to be a livestock issue, just as a horse or a cow would have been, too, because it's a farm animal.
Our ordinances specifically prohibit livestock within city limits, do mm-hmm. they not?
The dangerous dog ordinance was written before the chicken ordinance.
Right.
So
we got some things to look through.
Yeah.
Checking before the egg, right?
Well, we do appreciate you working on it and giving us some updates and updating the public. So,
thank you.
I had one thing
yeah.
on the round table. Are we done with the dogs and that?
Sure.
Yeah.
At Park Board, we discussed Festival in the Park, and typically, since Ronnie was in charge and even with Ben, we have paid two people $20 an hour to clean the park during Festival in the Park. We haven't posted the job. It's just been the same family every year. But the family's only going to have one person cleaning, and then they requested an increase in pay to $25 an hour. So I said, if they're going to be asking for an increase in pay, do we have to post that position? Or should we say that the Festival in the Park committee should be paying someone to clean the park? We have staff on Friday, but we don't want to pay overtime on Saturday and Sunday, so it would cost more than $25 an hour. But if we're going to increase the pay, should we post that position, or should we ask the Festival in the Park committee to start paying for that?
Who's paying it in the past? Was the festival?
Well, no, I think the park board, you know, you indicated, Ryan, you know, it looks like we've been paying that, which
yeah.
I think is true. You know, Ron, you know, had a lot of the different experiences with volunteers, and I think he had said he wanted to make sure the park was clean because it wouldn't necessarily have been clean. So when you emailed me about that, yeah, we checked into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly think if it's been kind of a handshake agreement a little bit to a certain extent over the last 10 years, but, you know, it might be something that would be. It's so temporary. It's like 2 days. That's the issue you run into is, you know, is there a group in town, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, I mean, something like that that would do it well, but then it's pretty heavy garbage sometimes too, so.
And I could go either way. I don't have a problem having the same people do it. They know the routine. It's been clean. The Festival of the Park Committee likes how clean it is. So it's not an issue of the work they're doing. It's just, should the festival be paying a staff member to clean it versus park board?
I guess that's something we should put onto an agenda. I think maybe the park board should talk it first.
Well, I mean, how extensive was your conversation, Ryan?
Did you have...
We didn't vote on anything. We kind of went back and forth, but we wanted to bring it to council first to see what they thought, because if it's not a position that we hire for, then that's the first thing. If we're not going to post it and it's not going to be an issue not posting it, they were fine with having that family do it, but we weren't sure if we wanted to go back to the festival in the park meeting and say, hey, this is on you, this is your funding, you need to pay for this.
My opinion, if you don't mind, if the city is paying an employee to clean, which now they would be classified as employee because the city's paying them, they would then be classified under our insurance. So I think if, you know, we've been doing it, but now, I mean, we're paying them. They're an employee of the city.
I'm not sure they would be an employee of the city.
I would like to make sure that we're covered under insurance.
I would suspect they probably don't get a W-2. They probably just get a 1099 or whatever.
But I would like to just double check, make sure that we don't have a liability issue. Because then if we do, then we should be posting it and making sure that it's fair to the whole public.
That's a good point. I mean, what if somebody puts their hand down to push the garbage down and they get a piece of glass in it?
You know,
if they're a contractor, it's one thing. If they're, you know, employment concern. Yeah, so I'd have to check with Linda on how exactly they've been paid, but yeah. Maybe you could you follow up with that, Sarah?
I just want to make sure that we're covering every basis for the employee or the volunteer, however you want to cover, you know, and the city to make sure that there's no, we have no issues yet, but.
In my opinion, it wouldn't hurt to see a festival would like to pay that person. That's
how Marigold Days does it.
I mean, it would be ideal if they did.
Yeah.
Would they like to? Probably not.
So that's something.
There's a reason that Ron had us hooking the bell for that.
Well, he wanted the park to be clean.
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, if you're raising the pay every couple of years, right, then maybe we should be posting it because maybe there are two or three high school or college kids that are going to be around that want to make $25 an hour to pick up garbage for 3 days.
I mean, because we have to approve anybody working at the pool.
Right.
And sometimes they work maybe only a couple of days a year, too.
Well, so. I mean, it's part of a larger conversation, too. In the past, we haven't utilized part-time help. Some communities, they do have young people or older people who do mowing and things like that, and that might be a bigger conversation to have, so I don't want to open a huge can of worms here, but ideally the festival would pay for it, and maybe that's where Park Board can talk about that some more first, say, okay, what does Park Board recommend? If that's what you're recommending, I think council takes that into account and says, okay, well, how do we make that work? Do we need to see if Park Board needs help to pay for that or something like that, but ideally, it would run through their group, not necessarily through the city, because it is their event.
And, yeah.
You know.
There we go.
Okay.
That's a good one, yeah. So if you can check into that some more.
Perfect.
Is there any more roundtable discussion? I will go ahead, and this closed session will be recorded. So.
Do they have to pay the fee on that line?
Thank you, everybody, for coming out.
Yeah.
If you're not.
Yeah.
Batter? Okay. Yeah. Thank you.